I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. What a beautiful Monday. It is absolutely pristine here in southeastern Wisconsin. Hello to everybody across the state. I hope it's just as gorgeous where you are as it is here. I'm joined today, of course, by Brian Kelly in the booth, pressing the buttons. It's a good thing, too, because I don't know what any of them do. Brewers, you know, not a great outing yesterday. Dropped one to Detroit yesterday, but not to worry, Brian. They're still
many games up in the division.
Top of the National League Central Division. It's interesting because there is a three-way tie for second. Brewers are 6.5 games ahead of all of the Cincinnati Reds, the Chicago Cubs, as well as the hated St. Louis Cardinals.
I think that's what we can all agree upon, is that
yes.
Cutoff shorts are not our thing. That's
jorts.
Yeah, that's
don't jort.
That's a St. Louis thing through and through. But I have to say, I've never met a St. Louis fan I couldn't talk baseball with. Same thing with a White Sox fan. Even though I'm not a fan of either of those teams by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't care if they can talk baseball. Though I will admit that nearly every White Sox fan I've ever met can talk baseball, which is very different from Cubs fans, half of which are just there.
Well, it's the world's largest
party,
beer
party,
garden.
Party. Yes. Précisément, mon ami.
That's half the game.
Précisément. It's fun. You know, baseball, it's a good time. Little something there for everybody. You got a tot, they got fun kids stuff. You want to treat it like a beer garden with all your buddies, you got the bleacher seats. It's good for everybody. They will be playing Toronto. That's where I got it wrong. Toronto is today at home. If you are in the region of WRCE, news from the center will be carrying the game. RJN and Racine and Kenosha has a WISS and Oshkosh and WCQM in Park Falls. So the Brewers game tonight. What a beautiful day, even if you're not at the game, to sit outside and listen. Because you've downloaded the Civic Media app, not on the app, on your regular transistor radio.
Yeah.
In one of those markets. It'll be very nice.
So what you can do is, cruise the stations and see what's going on in each local market as well.
Yeah.
If you like high school sports, that's the thing to get.
That's where I was going, because right now I think the boys D1 baseball championship first game just completed. I believe the score was 2-0 to Pierre advancing with a win over Menasha. Easton Arndt shut down Menasha, pitching a good game. So I love high school sports. I always have. I'm a has-been high school athlete.
Same here.
It's fun. So the D1 WIAA Boys Baseball Championships have kicked off. They are underway at Fox City Stadium in Grand Chute, Wisconsin. Very cool. Neuroscience Group Field. That's the name of it.
Not a very inspiring name, but a name nonetheless.
No. Apparently the semifinal will be between DePeer and Washota Central on Wednesday. DePeer 25-3 on the season. That is impressive.
That's pretty good.
Congratulations, boys. What a season you have had. We had a wonderful weekend for Civic Media.
Saw you guys out there on the socials.
Yeah, we were at Pride in Milwaukee. What a beautiful day it was. Nice and cool. Lots of sun. What a great time. It was so much fun to see all of you there. Happy Pride, Wisconsin. But my weekend was marred by a bit of an event.
Your beautiful, wonderful, perfect weather weekend and your wonderful Pride parade. What has rained on your parade?
What has... not literal rain, but a metaphoric rain on my parade happened on Saturday. As many of you may know, and if you don't know, now you do, I have a year and a half plus old little dog whose name is Josephine Margot. I call her Finny because I am a tall person. I got an ironically small dog, so she is not just a dachshund, but a miniature dachshund.
It's really...
She's really tiny.
Really funny, but also very, very cute because... Imagine a dachshund puppy, but that never
gets big.
Grow her out of the puppy part.
Yeah, she's 11 and a half pounds. That's as big as she's getting, fans. She has like outrageously large, big flippity floppity ears for a dachshund. She is ridiculously cute. She is just a big bundle of love.
She also licks your face right when you meet her, and she
kisses already, for everyone.
She already got me like the first day I met her. She's like lick, 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 lick. I'm like, okay, whatever you want to do, Finny. I'm after.
So cute. So what I wanted to ask you all, because I'm hoping you can help me feel a little bit better, is please give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, if you have stories or tales of when your dog has gotten lost, or any beloved pet. Any beloved pet. Have you lost your beloved pet outside and gone through what can only be described as the most soul-crushing, white-knuckled, blood-draining from your head, irrationality producing 45 minutes of my entire life to date was when I had her out in Oconomowoc, my best friend's house, had her in a harness on a long leash. She was having the time of her life. We were walking through a big old field, giving her one last round about the field before we went back inside. And one minute she was on the harness, and the next second Finny was gone, and I was just holding on to this empty, lifeless leash and harness, and she took off into the woods, and I let out a, not smart, right? Don't scare the dog more, but I was like, oh my gosh, Finny, and I didn't know whether I should turn around and run back towards the house, which I did, kind of calling her name, trying to get her, but nobody was with me. I had to go into the house. This little dog was gone. Not a whisper of where she could be. Now, the dog is brown, so she blends in perfectly. It's like she had dog camo on. It was in a wooded, spread out area of Oconomowoc, sort of by Oconomowoc Lake and the village of Oconomowoc Lake. It's all uneven. There's gullies and culverts. I don't know what another synonym for that stuff is, and water, and then brush that's so thick you can't step into it, nor can you see because it is now fully blue. So I can't see in anywhere. She was gone for like 42 minutes. By about minute 20, I was like inconsolably desolate, just kind of like hyperventilating, crying. It was awful. She's just a tiny little thing. She'd get eaten up out there.
Because you don't know what to do. There's nothing specific to do. Because, again, like, if this is a kid, right? Like, maybe 5 years, 4 years, 5 years older, you can at least reasonably think that maybe the kid might be hiding or have some sort of thought process to it.
Speak English.
Yes.
If found.
Yeah, where the dog.
No. Now, of course, I had a collar on her with, a tag with my name and number. But, you know, she gets off in the woods. That thing can get popped off if it gets stuck under something. She is chipped. I have taken all those precautions. Has all of her. She gets her pills and the vaccine, all that good mom stuff. But it was the worst, I think, 42 minutes of my entire life to date. And I've had some really terrible stuff happen to me, but that was worse because it was this thing that I love unconditionally that I am responsible for. It wasn't my fault, but it was so crushing. It was so terribly overwhelming emotionally. I was basically a complete wreck for the rest of the day. Sherry from Horicon. Hi, Sherry. You have a lost pet story? Sherry, you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can, Sherry. You have a lost pet story. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Did you find your pet?
I did. And I will tell you all how that came about in a few. But share with us your lost pet story.
Okay. So my daughter had gotten a little puppy from the shelter. And a little miniature chihuahua. And so anyway, she was terrified of everybody. Haley was the only one that could pick her up. So anyway, her partner can't even pick her up. So anyway, one day they had to work, and the next day they were going to go to a concert. And so anyway, I told them, well, tell you what, bring up Meadow before you go, and I'll watch her for you and babysit. She wouldn't let me put on her leash or collar or nothing, but so we decided, yeah, we'll do that. And so they brought her up, and they were nervous parents. So anyway, then they left, and so I give piano lessons, and so Haley's worry was when the students leave, she's going to sneak out. So I made sure she was still in the kitchen on her little sleepy thing, and proceeded to say bye to these kids and these students and shut the door, went in the house, got in the kitchen, and the doorbell rang. And they're like, Meadow's up front going potty.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
That quick. Sneaky little devil.
When they're little, you got to watch them. Hang on, Sherry. We've got to take a couple really important messages. If you have a story about when you lost your beloved pet, maybe even while babysitting a pet named Meadow, that's a mini chihuahua, you can give us a call or a text, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, because I had a lump in my throat for 42 harrowing minutes this past Saturday when my little mini dachshund Finny got away from me. I'll tell you how I got her back after these brief messages. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
May the last one burn into flame. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You know what? I'm here.
After all you put me through, you think I despise you. But in the end, I wanna thank you, cause you made me that much stronger.
When I
My Little Dog Made Me Stronger by nearly killing me with stress, anxiety, and terror this past Saturday by running off into the forest, slipping her harness, and off she went. Bye, Finny.
You know what's really funny is I actually played this song instead of the other song I had queued, and
this
it really
better.
Worked out just fine.
Yeah, worked perfectly, Brian. That's Brian Kelly. He's my producer extraordinaire. Good friend and co-host here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have you had a beloved pet get lost? My 11.5-pound miniature dachshund, like 19 months old. I hate saying that because it sounds like a baby. It's not. She's a year and a half plus. Broke out of her harness this weekend into the wilds of Oconomowoc, wooded areas with culverts and gullies and a little river, and you can't see anything. You can't hear anything. There are very busy streets all over the place. After about 20 minutes, I thought my dog is gone. And she is the absolute love of my life. She is so sweet. She is the kindest, cuddliest, most perfectest dog.
Folks, I just want to tell you, I witnessed they actually are having severe separation anxiety right now. I've witnessed the two of them together, and she's not exaggerating here. She's absolutely smitten with this dog and this dog with her. There's no exaggeration.
Yeah,
here,
I'm
just
not,
so you know,
I'm not,
this is real.
Yeah, I'm not gilding the lily at all. We'll throw some photos up on the gram and X. If you follow the Maggie Dawn Show, you can find us there. We'll share some photos. She is just priceless and precious. And off she went. And it was terrible. I was like, I'm not going to be able to work. What is the appropriate length of time to take off of work in order to find your dog? I thought, I'll just pitch a tent here in my friend's yard in Oconomowoc and start putting out treats and her favorite food. And I'll just stay up all night hoping she comes back. It was terrible. Kurt from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say, Kurt?
Well, Maggie, I'm sure very happy that you got your dog back.
Thank you.
I had a dog when I was growing up. I had a dog about 20 years ago who lived a very long age, and she was perfect in every way. And lost her. And when I lost her, I went through severe mourning, and I wasn't getting over it. So we ended up getting another dog, and it was probably about a year after I lost my dog. And she's a Bernedoodle, female.
Mm-hmm.
And sweet as can be, typical Berner personality, you know, always nose nudging.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to attend a funeral in Sheboygan, and we have friends there, and they often babysitted my previous dog, and he knew that I was very good at teaching dogs off leash. And so I told him, I said, okay, Carl, she's got to be on a leash. So I just get to the funeral, and I'm not there more than an hour. I get a phone call at 1 o'clock, and he says, I don't know what to tell you. We were at a friend's. She was on a leash, and she was sticking with us. And then I thought, well, she knows how to stay around, and he took her off leash, and
oh,
his wife
God.
Warned him, don't do that.
Oh, God.
And, of course, naturally, she immediately, you know, I've got to find Dad. And she took off. And he told me, we're looking, we can't find her. Well, I don't even explain to you. You've done it. Anybody that's gone through this knows what it's like. So I race back, and I get there, and we get a couple friends, and we fan out in cars. And I was so emotionally upset and shaking and knowing that, either A, because she's going to be hit by a car, or worse, something else.
Yeah.
And I literally slammed on the brakes to leap out of my car because I saw a police officer parked on the other side of the street. And I'm glad he didn't think I was looking to assault him. I ran to him and I said, I need your help. Can you please put a radio dispatch out for a dog? I showed him the picture of what she looked like. And he said, oh, sure. So meanwhile, as we're driving, opening up the radius larger and larger and larger, my other half sent the text to her sister and said, Mackenzie's gone. We don't know where she is. She went on, there's a section of Facebook for dog lost
yes.
animals.
Yes.
And she sent it out and she did the post. And all of a sudden my phone rings. Unlike your 42 minutes, mine was 5 hours.
Oh, God.
And so my phone rings and it's this young guy. He says, you know what? I saw this post on Facebook.
Oh my gosh.
I think I see your dog. I said, please don't go anywhere. I'll be there right away.
Yep.
And of course, we're on the north side of Sheboygan as opposed to the south side where she was. And it was, she was right at the power plant. And so I raced illegally at high speed.
Yes, obviously.
And I pull over the car and I'm talking to the guy. And he said, she's somewhere on the other side of the chain link fence. Now, this is a large fenced off area where they put all the coal ash.
Yep.
And then lo and behold, as I'm talking to him about a quarter of a mile down the road, she's coming out from underneath the wire fence because there's a valley in there.
Aww.
And I was bolting at her, screaming her name, and she slunk down.
Yes.
Because she was afraid. It's like,
yes.
Who's this person coming at me? And it wasn't until I stopped and got on my knee and said, hey, Mackenzie,
yes.
good girl, why are you? And then she heard my voice. And she came bolting at me.
Oh.
And Maggie, unfortunately, I don't have the picture. She was so covered. She
yes.
must have been through water before she got to the soot pile.
Yes.
She was charcoal black.
Yes.
And we literally used the garden hose for over probably 30 minutes before we stopped seeing soot coming out of her hair.
Well, I'm so glad you found her, Kurt. We'll close the loop on the flip side of these messages. We got about 2 minutes left. I'll tell you, if I don't get it in, I'll tell you all how I found Finny, but I want to give Angie from Monroe, welcome to the show. Do you have a lost pet story? You got to be quick because we only have about a minute and a half now.
Yeah, I'm on a farm and my boy, he ended up wandering along the highway and he was actually starting to go blind. I found him like 3 miles down the road. And not a single car helped him along that highway, which blows my mind. I actually personally, I carry dog leashes in my car in case I see a stray. And I have found strays personally, and I have returned them home. So I just want to point that out. If you ever see a dog, lay on the ground, sit with them, and that's the easiest way to catch a stray dog.
Yes.
So I just wanted to point a little point out there while I was at it.
Thanks so much, Angie. I really appreciate that tip and what you do when you see those dogs. Somebody loves them, or the dog deserves to be loved by somebody. I'll tell you how we found her, but I do, before we go to break, I want to give out a couple of huge thanks. The folks that live at 3840, you know who you are. Thank you so much for helping to find Finny. Thank you to Oconomowoc Police Department and Oconomowoc Lake PD. They had cruisers out within like 10, 15 minutes of her going missing. I really appreciate everybody. Thank you, Annie and Mary and my parents and all of my friends who came to help. I'll tell you how we found her after these brief messages. And it is day 6 of Biden's top 100. We're talking education with some educated educators. It's going to be fabulous. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. We'll be back after these brief messages, including your farm update. Don't go anywhere. Bit faster, made my skin a little bit thicker, makes me that much smarter. Thanks for making me a fighter.
That little boy's got to think. You got a pet. You got a responsibility. If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that f***ing dog.
Anyway.
It's bad bitch o'clock, yeah, it's thick 30. I've been through a lot, but I'm still flirty. Is everybody back up in the building? It's been a minute, tell me how you're healing. Cause I'm about to get into my feelings. How you feeling? How you feel right now?
Oh, welcome back, Wisconsin. I have a hard time talking over that one. It's such a good jam.
It's one of the best shows I've ever seen, too.
Yeah.
I took my daughter and Amy, and it was awesome. Just one of the nicest group of people
yes.
I've ever been around.
That everybody, whole concert vibe.
Everybody felt the right. Everybody
good
felt
energy.
Right.
Yep.
It was great.
Those are the best. You know what else is the best feeling on the planet? Finding your dog that has been gone for 42 minutes, who weighs 11 and a half pounds, who'd be could be swallowed whole, who disappears in any underbrush because she's brown, who's the sweetest, nicest little thing you've ever seen, who loves to cuddle, is nice to everybody, who won the German Fest Dachshund race last year and has been entered to win, you know, she's going to take him on again.
So she's
defending champ.
She's fast.
She's really fast, which is part of the freaking out when I lost her. So this is, eventually I had this moment where I thought, it's been 20 minutes. I really should just go back to the house and keep my eyes peeled, because if she's going to show up, she'd probably come back there. So I did that, and I was doing a big, long perimeter walk, and I saw her, the little brown hornet, like dash across a field. And somebody was behind her. I called them, so they kind of fleshed her out. So then she pops out of the woods again, runs at me like a little brown hornet, right? Zing, ba-ding, coming in, ears flapping. She's going, looks like she's going to take off. She's all smiley, so excited to see me. Runs right past me, right at a million miles an hour, just out of arm's reach, and like right back into the woods.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but I had another friend like sort of flushing her out from the other side. We bird dogged the bird dog, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then she kind of pushed her forward towards the side of the wooded area that I was coming in on. And she had gotten herself like righteously stuck under a whole bunch of underbrush.
Good for her.
And she was looking up at me with these big literal puppy dog eyes, and she has little big bean eyebrows. She's real dark brown, and then she's got these little tan guys that look at you like, What'd I do, Mom? And she sat down and she was looking at me and had a little potty. And then she looked at me like, can you please get me out of here? Shivering cold. She was wet, so she looks almost like black. Totally soaking, covered in mud.
Time of her life, though.
Oh, my God. Well, until about then. And picked her up, and she's just shivering. I've Xanax, Valium. What do you got? I needed something then.
I'm laughing because it's fine now, and I'm also laughing because it reminds me of that scene in Funny Farm where he gets the Irish setter. And the second he opens the door, it just takes off. So for the rest of the entire movie, you keep seeing this Irish setter running across the field. Oh, hey, there it goes.
Yeah, there it goes.
Anyway.
Oh, thank you again to all. I was calling in reinforcements. You got to get out to Oconomowoc. I lost my dog. Thank you to everybody who helped. And thank you to the goddess of the universe who delivered my dog back to me. I wouldn't be here today. I'd be out in Oconomowoc looking for my dog right now. Thank you to the texters. We had somebody texting in from the 414. Naughty girls sound sassy like my Toby. Oh, sweetness. Tips on a better harness from some folks. Really cute pic of a dog somebody sent in. Thank you. Thank you to everyone. Catherine from Madison giving a shout out to a runaway that they took in, who then ran away from them. And Mark from Prairie du Sac, sweet, sweet picture of his sweet, sweet boy, Chief. Thanks, everybody, for sharing your stories and letting me try to, I don't know, therapize myself through that trauma. But I am so excited to welcome my next guest, one of the two fabulous educators talking education that make up the two-man team that is Busted Pencils that you can hear here on the Civic Media Radio Network every Monday through Friday, just after the Devils from 6 to 7 p.m. Dr. Tim Slickar, thanks so much for joining us, Tim. We're going to talk about what Joe Biden has gotten done for education in this country in the first 4 years of his presidency. Welcome, Tim. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Happy to be here, actually.
Joe Biden has gotten a lot done, so it's kind of hard to pick just one thing, but I thought I would ask you sort of the gimme question right off the top, which is, what do you, and again, Dr. Tim has been a dean at Edgewood College in the education department. He was the dean there from 2013 to 2020. He's one of the founding members of Education Deans for Justice and Equity. He's taught second grade and fifth grade and helped mentor seventh and eighth grade social studies teachers in Baltimore. He's got a PhD. Smart man, knows a lot about education. What's your number one thing that Joe Biden got done for education in this country so far in his first term?
Unprecedented investment to the Department of Education. Just unbelievable amount of money right there, particularly coming out of COVID, the amount of money to reopen schools and the allocations there. And then two, you know, really talking about school safety, schools' mental health, and then that the overhaul of Title IX. I mean, these have been big, big issues. But seriously, the amount of money to public schools. And, you know, all of this for reopening schools, students' mental health, safety. And then another part that doesn't get talked about a lot, but it's one of my personal favorites, bundled up inside of that money is a lot of money for what's called the teacher apprenticeship. And that is very much directed at creating new teachers, but then recognizing that the cost to becoming a teacher is outside of the bounds of a lot of people. And this puts money directly in the ability for people who want to be a teacher to go and get their schooling totally free of charge using a teacher apprenticeship. So that to me is the most exciting, because in case people aren't listening, we're in a major national teacher shortage, or as I like to say, it's a teacher exodus. People are quitting, people are leaving teaching every moment of the day. So the idea of creating truly a pathway back into classrooms for teachers, and this teacher apprenticeship is an amazing program. So for that, that to me is my favorite accomplishment, along with the unprecedented amount of money he's invested just back to the Department of Education.
I've got another specialist coming up on my show that we're going to talk a little bit more about taxation. But I just want to juice that by cueing in on something that you said, Tim, that I think is just so important. Budgets and how we expend the money that our governments raise through taxing us are an expression of our values as a culture, as a society, as Americans, as Wisconsinites. And just like creating revenue through taxation, when you cut revenue through tax cuts, you're also making a value judgment. And at a time when our public schools and education need more teachers, need better paid teachers, and where we've got such a crisis on our hands in terms of student performance post-COVID, student mental health, et cetera, I have been very proud to see our president continuing to make those incredible investments. Again, creating incentives for people to get into teaching. Just like you mentioned, Tim, it's so critically important, the apprenticeship program. In Joe Biden's State of the Union, he talked about a promise to raise teacher salaries in his second term, which is like, yes, no-brainer. You want great teachers. You want more teachers entering. Hey, guess what? You have to pay people. There actually is supply and demand out there for labor and certainly for teachers as well. I'm really excited about those two pieces. When you say that the investment that Joe Biden has made in our public education system is unprecedented, what are we talking about here in sort of scale and amount of investment? Can you fill in some of the details for folks so they know exactly what does it mean to say it's unprecedented?
Well, I'll give you a quote from Education Week. $122 billion, quote, unprecedented sum. More than the federal government typically sends to the nation's schools annually to help catch up students. So just $122 billion just for pandemic relief, another $1 billion to boost school safety and students' mental health. So we're talking billions of dollars invested in programs that make a difference, that truly, truly, truly make a difference. Because anybody who says that you can educate people on some efficiency scaled type of, you know, it just doesn't work that way. And typically when people say that, they're not talking about their kids, they're talking about somebody else's kids. Because when it comes to their kids, they want to make sure, you know, because you say, well, would you like a cheap education for your kids? No, not mine. You know, okay, well, then here's the reality. So whatever, and I've heard this before too, whatever the most wealthy and the most, you know, incredibly up-to-do people want for their kids, that's the minimum standard for all
every
kids.
Child. And yes.
For all children. And guess what? What the Biden administration is doing here in the money starts to work towards that direction, which says, guess what? There is no such thing as those who can and cannot. We're saying all kids, public school children in America, you all get the best of what we can do. Could he do more? Absolutely. But has anybody done this amount? Actually, too, no, because a lot of the money that's come in the past, and I actually will put this as an accomplishment, and people won't say this, it hasn't come with lots of strings attached,
yes,
such as a lot of the programs in the past, which is No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, Every Student Succeeds. All of those programs actually had lots of ways to manipulate schools and parents into doing, for me, a lot of what's actually not best for schools. So the reality of saying, hey, schools, here's the money you need. Figure it out. You're professionals. You're the educated educators. You guys do it.
I really want to dig in on this. Folks, if you got a question for Tim or I, you want to comment on this, we're going to keep this discussion going for a bit. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Here is a thing that I have tried to help people to understand sort of what they should be looking for. And it is these sorts of strings attached to funding. And what I mean by this, to be really blunt, is we do not have elected politicians that tell brain surgeons how to do brain surgery. Okay? Education is a profession that people study, that they are experts in. Dear parents, you want to teach your kid X, Y, and Z? Guess what? If you're in a public school, that ain't you. You don't get to decide. You teach your kid what you want at home. But public schools and public schooling are based on a profession and decades, centuries maybe, of research and applied learning by educational professionals. So what you see in a lot of funding bills, thank you so much for pointing this out, Tim, because I hate it, is politicians trying to make hay given the talking point of the moment. trying to micromanage the way that educational professionals, learned experts, are trying to figure out how to best educate each and every child. We know what works. Low teacher-student ratios, mental health support, wraparound services, free lunches and breakfasts and dinners at school, extracurricular activities, meaningful experiential learning. We know what works. You ask the experts. I've got one of them here. We're going to dig in a little bit more on that, Dr. Tim. He is one of the two gentlemen that host Busted Pencils every Monday through Friday here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to take a couple of quick messages. We'll be back with Dr. Tim talking more about Joe Biden's accomplishments in education and what he's got planned for his second term. It is day six of Biden's Top 100. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.
I learned it by watching you.
Educator to talk education with us here on the Maggie Dawn Show. He is Dr. Tim Slikar, co-host of Busted Pencils, which you can find Monday through Fridays here on the Civic Media Network from 6 to 7 p.m. If you're wondering about whether or not this Text to Win statewide Sconny Summer giveaway that we're hosting here on Civic Media actually works, it does. We just heard from our good friend John Kay, who's really excited to announce that he won one of our Wisconsin Dells prize packages. Your secret word of the day will be coming up at the top of this hour. You're going to want to go get the Civic Media app for free. Text the word of the day, which I'll give you at 3 o'clock. And then once you get the confirmatory response text message, you're going to want to click on the link in there and get entered to win yet again. All that coming up at top of the hour. Cindy from Appleton, you had a question or a comment about education for our special guest. Go ahead, Cindy.
I have a couple of comments. First of all, Maggie, don't give the Republicans any ideas about getting involved in brain surgery.
Fair, Cindy. Fair.
Second of all, I'm a school bus driver, and I was driving for a sub school for the end of the year, and the last day of school, and this was a smaller elementary school, the kids got on the bus and half of them were bawling, and I'm like, what is going on? You guys should be happy, it's the last day of school. And I find out that three of the teachers from that school are leaving, retiring, or whatever they're doing, they're not coming back. So the kids were just devastated about this, and I thought, you know, some of these kids really, I think a lot of their real parental type connections are teachers.
Yeah. Cindy, it's so true. And the fact that basically, if we step back and look at what's been going on, we throw teachers under the bus all day, every day. They are a very convenient political scapegoat. I'm tired of it. It's unfair. It's unwarranted. And what we should be doing is asking teachers, like my guest, what can we do to help you? What do you think the number one thing, Dr. Tim, is that teachers need on a day-over-day basis? Is it smaller class sizes? Is it more books? Is it updated texts? Or is it really variable depending on school district and classroom?
Okay. The reality, and I'm glad you asked it, because I actually did some research on that, about 400 some teachers I asked that question. It's actually pretty simple. Yes, they need more money and they need to be recognized, but the biggest thing teachers today, and this is one of the biggest reasons that you hear teachers either retiring early or quitting, they want to be able to just teach. In other words, give them the professional autonomy they deserve. Let them make the best decisions for your kids. Give them the power to teach. As one teacher simply said to me, just let me teach. Mm. That would be all she needed to stay in the classroom. Just let me teach. So think about that, though, too. And that's why I kind of put this back to the Biden's accomplishments in not attaching strings to that money, because so many of the strings that are driving teachers out of the profession came with past federal legislation and money that actually deprofessionalized teachers. So No Child Left Behind, which was an incredible overreach of the federal government, but most importantly, just totally took away teachers' autonomy to make those decisions about what's best for kids. This here, so Biden giving tons of money and allowing educated educators to make the decisions about how to use that money, that will go a long way. So yeah, lots of teachers, they just want to teach.
Yeah, it when I think of the individualized and specialized assistance, help, and also challenges that a lot of my teachers gave me within the classroom, it was facilitated, again, by having some autonomy to do that, by smaller class sizes, where a teacher could spend some of that one-on-one time with me. Everything I learned from a teacher in a very literal sense. They gave me my curiosity, my love of learning. It was supported in the home, but it was really watered, fed, and cared for every day in school. I was one of those nerds that would have gone to school all year round if they would have allowed it. I enjoyed it that much.
But you were lucky like that. But like Cindy was calling those. Say, I mean, some of these students, they're upset because some of those teachers, those are truly the only
parents.
People that do that. And so if you think about that connection that a teacher has to a child, and then the reality that maybe the teacher's not coming back, and there's something we could have done to keep them, as simple as saying, hey, wait a minute, they just want to be allowed to teach? Well, what's stopping them? Hey, let's go forward then. Biden accomplishment. Where does Biden go in the next term? Is to now start to empower that autonomy to give that teachers back. You've got teacher apprenticeship. You've got a lot of money going forward. Things are going right. And Maggie, you point out too, we know what will work, what's better. Reduce class size, better materials, you know, giving, you know, release time so that the people actually have time to do the things that matter. Food security. Yes, do that. You know, healthcare, food, make things better. Create the ability for families to have healthcare that makes sense. And then let the kids go to school ready to learn because teachers will then be ready to engage.
Yeah, if you're sick and hungry, you can't learn. Period, full stop. You want to talk about universal, the basic human right to healthcare and to be fed? It's with our kids. If we can't agree that that's a thing for adults, can we at least say it should be a gosh darn thing for kids? Keith from Madison, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Hey, how you guys doing today? So I have a question about the funding for schools. Why did we all of a sudden have so much need for so many referenda in order to build our schools?
That's a great question, Keith. There's a whole bunch of reasons that, especially in the state of Wisconsin, school funding has hit and sort of fallen off of a cliff. I think about 2 weeks ago, I had Rob Henkin on my show. Rob Henkin from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Keith, go to Wisconsin Policy Forum. They have a bunch of white papers on why we're facing a school funding cliff. But the Cliff Notes version is this. The Republicans designed the school funding system that way in the state of Wisconsin. It didn't even keep up with inflation for nearly 20 plus years. And so they're all standing around scratching their heads about why are kids not doing so well? Because they made it that way. The Republicans did. Right here in Wisconsin, haven't even talked about the national GOP. That is the way the school funding formula has been designed to work since the Walker administration. And it has drained our schools and deprived our kids of the money that they need to succeed. Education costs. Let's do it together. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is Civic Media. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more after the news, weather, and sports.
This is a house of learned doctors.